Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
No breaks.
No breaks.
No fear.
No fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
This is the week you've been waiting for all winter long. The start of the British Speedway season. And it gets underway with a bang. We've got a few testimonials and one-offs, including the Carl Howarth testimonial, Charles Wright testimonial, the Peter Craven memorial, and the Ben Fun bonanza. But we begin with Premiership action as well. And Calvin Tatum is here to give his verdict on the seven Premiership sides.
All the rest of those riders are rock-solid British League riders. And I've got to say that they won't take a lot of time to settle in. I do believe that team will gel from the very first moment they bump into each other at press and practice day. I think they could be underrated right now. In actual fact, I think they are.
Find out who Calvin Tatum thinks the bookies have got it all wrong about fairly soon. We'll also hear from Charles Wright and Kyle Howarth, both getting ready for their testimonials this week, and both getting ready for Freddie.
Second in the world this year, Freddie Lindgren. I'm quite happy to get Freddie at my testimonial, and it'd be great for him to be part of my big day.
It was great. When I spoke to Freddie, he was like straight away, we're like, yeah. Obviously, we had some good times at Wolves.
And Fast Freddy's heading to Workie as well for the Ben Fun bonanza. We'll hear from the Ben Fun chairman, Paul Aykroyd.
We're hoping that this will mirror our biggest meeting down at Rye House some 10, 12 years ago. We're expecting a massive turnout.
It's all on the way on this week's episode of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along, I'm Ian Brannan. Great to be back with you, and this is it. This week, the 2024 British Speedway season gets underway with some opening action in the Premiership as the Leicester Lions face the Bellevue Aces and the Oxford Spires open their accounts against another new side to Premiership action in the Birmingham Brummies. So there's the first two fixtures. We've also got a stellar weekend of other action as well, including the Ben Fun bonanza. We've got Charles Wright's testimonial. We've got the Peter Craven meeting. And before all of that, we've got Kyle Howarth's testimonial, which is at Sheffield versus a World Select. So it's a very busy week of Speedway action in Great Britain in this opening few days. And we'll look ahead to all of that. Later on, we'll speak to Kyle Howarth and Charles Wright and Paul Aykroyd, who's the chair of the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund. But first of all, I caught up with British Speedway legend Calvin Tatum to look ahead to the 2024 Premiership season. Seven teams contesting for the title. Sheffield start as favourites as the reigning champions. They've also got a stellar lineup, pretty much the team that finished last season. But there's plenty of other sides who are gunning for that title. And we had a look through each of the seven sides, starting with the reigning champions, the Sheffield Tigers, who line up with Ty Woffenden, Jack Holder, Chris Holder, Kyle Howarth, Josh Bickering, Jason Edwards, and Dan Jilks as rising star.
No, it's an impressive side, and it was also very impressive how quickly they moved. Damien Bates was keen to get his team tied down. He didn't want to lose anybody. Chris Holder coming in at the later stages of the season was a surprise, but he did remarkably well. And, you know, riders like Josh Pickering coming into the team throughout the season, he didn't start that well, but he certainly finished extremely well, extremely strongly. I know that Ty Woffenden enjoyed his time. It was unfortunate that Ty got injured at the back end of the season because he was doing a great job for them. But Sheffield Tigers winning their first time at the highest level, their first trophy at the highest level last year. in dramatic style. Fair play, they moved quickly, and to all intents and purposes, I get the feeling that Sheffield will be many people's favourites coming into 24.
Spoke with Peter Adams through the course of the winter, and he feels that this season Ty is going to be a different beast, because there's always been something off the track that he felt that had explained really why Ty hadn't hit the heights that we know he's capable of. But he feels that those are gone and Ty is going to be coming in all guns blazing for the start of 2024.
Yeah, I Ty went through quite a traumatic period on and off the track in the last few years. He made a big decision to move into Poland, living just outside Wrocław, where he's been for some considerable time. There was some disruption in his team, and that I don't think helped at all. So, you know, that's never easy. And clearly, the family didn't really settle in Poland. So I agree with Pete Adams. I sense if you get your family life right and they're settled and happy. Also, it's a pressure cooker living in Poland. You never get away from it, particularly when you're living very close to the city and the town where you're racing. Every time you go to a shop, when you go shopping or get your food or whatever it is, go to the petrol station, there'll be somebody that will know you, and you will never be able to be truly switched off. And that brings pressures of its own kind. So, yeah, let's hope he is. He has the talent. He's a proven winner. And he will be Bartosz Smarzlik will be a tough nut to crack, no question. But Wolfenden has got three world titles, so you don't get lucky three times. And it would be fabulous for everybody concerned if he... I think also there was a change last year in where John Jorgensen came into the team. He started working with him in Tetero. And I think that relationship gently got stronger, and the understanding between the two individuals, because I spoke to John at the end of the season in Torun, and he was enjoying it, and I believe that he will continue to do so. And that also could be a part of the team that could prove to be a reason for an upturn in form. So, looking forward to it. As I say, the sense of anticipation at this time of year is what it's all about. And Wolfenden, back in British Speedway, enjoying it, is... I think he is a catalyst for a lot of these other bigger names to come back.
They've got the big names, but they've also got some talent at reserve as well, haven't they? And Simon Stead sticking with a couple of British youngsters. Dan Jilks comes back into Sheffield colours, as does Jason Edwards, who ended the season with Sheffield. And a big season for these two now, you fancy, in the reserve berths at the Sheffield Tigers.
Yeah, I can see those two lads, they need to kick on. Jason Edwards has been spoken about quite highly. He is he has a lot of ability. I'd like to see him push on a bit and actually push into the main body of the team if he could. It won't be easy because their top five is very strong. But nonetheless, Jason Edwards, I think it's a big season for him ahead. Dan Gilks, of course, is another lad that certainly is gaining an experience. And rightly say, those two guys down at the bottom there, they're key to outcomes to meetings. We saw Dad's Army just a few short years ago, Peterborough Panthers winning the league, when they had international riders riding it down at reserve and picking up huge amounts of points because, as we all are all aware, they can have seven rides each. So, but I like that lineup. I think it's settled. There's continuity. And if they get off to a good start, I think Sheffield could well be the team to beat again in 24.
Well, the side that was runners-up last year, Ipswich Witches, are back with another strong lineup. Jason Doyle and Emil Saifutinov, along with Keenan Rue, Adam Ellis, Danny King, Jordan Jenkins and Dan Thompson in the Witches lineup for 2024. But Kelvin, you feel that it is one of those new signings, Adam Ellis, coming into the side, who could be the key man for the Witches?
Yeah, I think Adam Ellis had a poor season for Sheffield last year, eventually being dropped by the team. He rode well on the continent, but for some reason just didn't click into gear on a regular basis riding in the UK, which I know frustrated him. And Adam, who has won the British Championship, he was the wild card for the Grand Prix just a couple of seasons ago. So, you know what I mean? He has lots of quality. And I think that Chris Louie and Mr. Hawkins are very keen to see him return to form, because if he does, that is a huge, huge rider in the middle of the team there. You know, Jason Doyle, Emil Saifutinov, well, genuine world class. Keenan Roos getting better every season. Danny King returned to something like his former performances. As I say, that is quite a tasty looking and a very attractive looking top five that will challenge anybody. As I say, if Adam can find form and be rejuvenated down at Foxhall, then I think that Ipswich will potentially go a little better because they did so very well last year. But I think Adam being around Jason and Emil, I think that must rub off. I'd like to think it would rub off. So, and I'm sure he'd be determined to go better this year.
They've also bolstered their reserve ranks. Dan Thompson comes back in, but they've also signed Jordan Jenkins, who comes in from Peterborough, who's put some good performances in around Foxhall in the past when he's been riding there for Peterborough. So, and he was, in fact, I think one of the shining lights in a Peterborough side that I saw at the start of the season. So certainly made an impression there. And again, it's an area where maybe they struggled certainly at the start of last season.
Yes, and I think it was something that was difficult for Ipswich last year when they lost riders before the season started down at the bottom end of the season. And they sort of juggled that position throughout the year. They also had issues with Eric Riss, with his illness, which was really tough for the individual as well as for the team. And they sort of did extremely well to actually sort of bring Eric back in when he was clearly not 100%, but they still managed to pick up a trophy and very nearly won the league as well. But if they can remain settled there and Jordan can settle in as well as Adam, then, and Dan Thompson, of course, another rider that got injured, you know, injuries were sort of rife at the back end of last season. It really was like an epidemic almost. But yeah, it's a good looking lineup, Ian. And as I say, it's a tough call between Sheffield and Ipswich. It really is right now for me, for the top two teams in the league going into the new season. But I'm sure they're very excited in that part of the world.
Well, a side that just missed out on the playoffs last year, the Leicester Lions, even though they were in the box seat, really, to get into the playoffs for the most part, but fell at the final hurdle. They line up with Max Frick, Sam Masters, Drew Kemp, Richard Lawson, Luke Becker, Ryan Douglas and Joe Thompson as rising star. And, well, you don't have to be an expert to discover that there's a good representation of Wolves riders there. But also some of the best of last year's Leicester team returning. So, looks like a good mix, Kelvin.
Yeah, I like the look of Leicester. And I asked you to send me over some odds for the season. And I actually see that Leicester have been put down fairly well down in the ranks at 12-1, which surprised me. Because when you look at that lineup, okay, you know, Max Frick, genuine world class. He's not a Grand Prix rider this year, but that means he's going to have a little bit more energy potentially for his British club. But all the rest of those riders are rock-solid British League riders. And I've got to say that they won't take a lot of time to settle in. You know, Becker, Douglas and Masters all know each other. That I do believe that team will gel from the very first moment they bump into each other at press and practice day. And I think they could be underrated right now. In actual fact, I think they are. They did remarkably well last year. The bubble burst a bit last year. You could argue they made some changes when maybe they didn't need to. But fundamentally, I know that set up there. I'm sure they'll be very keen to do well. And that is a sort of team that just could surprise one or two, in truth, particularly at home. At that, you know, Luke Becker rides small tracks brilliantly. Douglas, they actually go round Leicester pretty much as well as they go round Monmore. And I think that you know, all the Aussies are going to click, aren't they? They all know each other extremely well. So, yeah, Leicester, I'm excited about that. And I've just written a note, you know, solid. A solid side, lots of British experience. Richard Lawson epitomises that. You know, he's always very reliable. So, yeah, I think Leicester fans will be excited about the new season and they will be encouraged by the look of their team.
Do we think there's an opportunity to beat the bookie there? I think there might be a little... Get on that quick while those odds
are
12-1.
I fancy a flatter on it. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to put the house on it. Go for it. I'm on the vodka early.
What is in that water bottle? I think though as well that because Leicester missed out so dramatically in that fixture against Peterborough. You know, they were nailed on. They were romping there. They were pretty much home and host for the playoffs. And it was just like a mathematical quirk that they only need X amount of points to get there. And it was sort of given that they would do it. And then they didn't. They failed. And it was that man, Chris Harris, who, of course, switched sides from Leicester for Peterborough, who actually did most of the damage. And that's where the wheels really fell off. And you think that Stuart Dixon, knowing Stuart Dixon, I don't think he's going to be wanting that to happen. And he'll be more determined as well to make the playoffs. And I think with that lineup, you know, as you say, I think there maybe are... They have been underrated, perhaps, and maybe gone under the radar slightly. As you say, solid grinding results out, aren't they?
Yeah, Stuart would have been extremely frustrated about what happened last year. You know, we actually, Eurosport, covered, I think it was they'd had 8 consecutive wins, and we were there, and Ipswich, funnily enough, were the visitors, and they won. And from that moment on, their season got a bit topsy-turvy. And it was rather ironic that one of the riders they released in Chris Harris actually then came back to haunt them later in the season. And I think it was a major learning curve, the way they just potentially, Stuart won't be pleased with me saying this, but I think they panicked a wee bit at that point. And maybe they just needed to be a little bit more patient, but I'm sure they've learned from that. But as I say, what I can be confident about, it's a rock solid looking team, a team that I'd be surprised if they don't make the top four.
Okay, Leicester to make the playoffs, according to Kelvin Tatum. So what about the Kings Lynn Stars then, Kelv? They've had a couple of disappointing seasons for one reason or another, haven't they? And are we heading into different times now? Rob Lyon has moved over from Peterborough, and a few riders have followed him as well. Their lineup is Benjamin Basso, Niels Christian Iversen, Michael Palm-Toft, Vadim Tarasenko, Patrick Wodjolo, Tobias Musialak is captain, and Anders Rowe is rising star. Do we call them the Kings Lynn Panthers, Kelv? Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, they all know each other. And I've got to say, it looks a tidy side. It really does. And Rob Lyon, who has got plenty of experience, great to see that his enthusiasm for the sport after being clearly, it must have been so tough over the last couple of seasons, having had that massive high of winning the championship and then consequently the next two seasons being pretty dire. They did turn things around at the end of last season. They had a very attractive team right at the back end of the season, but in truth, their opportunities for any real glory had gone. Kings Lynn, I mean, they've been around for donkey's years. It's a great track. They've got some good riders in here. Injuries to Michael Palm-Toft have been really a problematic for him personally over the last couple of seasons, because if he can have a run of form, he's a match winner. He's a double figure man, and he can pick up tremendous. I was also very impressive with Tarasenko coming in last year, and Wodjolo as well, Patrick Wodjolo coming in. Both of those riders actually made quite a big impact for Peterborough in a league where potentially they could have had the excuse where they maybe needed a bit more time to settle, to become more accustomed to it. Basso getting better and better. Niels Christian Iversen, not quite the rider he once was, but clearly Niels retains plenty of enthusiasm, and he's had his injury problems. And as I say, that's a team that, again, like all the teams, this is a tough call this year because they all look really good. But Kings Lynn, I think they're going to be in for a much more encouraging season. I think they will be pretty solid at home. I think it's all Kings Lynn, to me, it's going to be what they can pick up on the road. And can they get, you know, Musialak is going to be a leader, no question about it. I expect him to lead from the front. He did a great job for Sheffield over the last couple of seasons. So I think quietly Rob Lyon will be pretty upbeat about this season and keeping his fingers crossed that this team can perform and gel together nicely.
Let's have a look at a side making their first foray into top-level speedway in quite a while. The Oxford Spires return with top-level speedway back at Cowley for the first time in a very long time. And they've put together a decent side, I think, here, Kelv. Maciej Janowski is going to be leading the line. Of course, in the Grand Prix last year, fell out of that and back in British speedway. It's good to have him back here. Chris Harris, Rowan Tungate, the current Australian champion from across the course of this winter. Nikolai Klint, Louis Kerr, who's been riding with Oxford with the Cheetahs in the championship until now as well, and Charles Wright also in the side. Rising star is Ashton Bowsian. Looks like a solid outfit here with quite a lot of experience in British speedway too.
Yeah, they do, and Maciej Janowski hasn't been, I'm not sure exactly how long it's been since he last rode in the UK. You'll know that better than I will, but Maciej has had a disappointing season in 23, looking to rebuild himself. And I actually had a conversation with Chris Louis on more than one occasion last year where we actually, over a beer after a Grand Prix, were saying, can't understand what's going on with him. Maybe a return to the UK could be a good thing for him, just to sort of liven him up a bit, because there's no doubt that when he won league titles here before, particularly when he was riding for the Pirates, I mean, he was outstanding. He carried the team at times. So if the Oxford Spires can have that Maciej Janowski, then I tell you what, they are going to be in for a treat, because he's a top-class rider. So I'm excited to see him and see how well he goes. Harris, of course, you know exactly what you're getting with Chris Harris. He'll be top draw, giving it everything. Rowan Tungate, what a winter he's had. Aussie champion for the second time. If he can keep that confidence and roll it over into the 24 season, he could be. I've still got a slight question mark over his consistency. He can be a little bit hit and miss, but if he can just find the key to riding his home track, then he could have a good season. Nikolai Klint, a good rider, you know, a very professional rider, and I'd like to think he'll go good. And Louis Kerr, Charles Wright leaving Bellevue. Now, that's quite a big change for him. Obviously, he had several seasons at Bellevue and getting lots of success there, winning the championship, of course. But how he'll go at Oxford, he'll have to get his trapping hand on. That's quite a departure for him. I'd be interesting to see how he adapts to it. And Ashton Bowsian, I'm not that familiar about him. I haven't seen him too much, Ian, but I know that people are raving about him.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for Ashton Bowsian. Only turned 16 last year. He's been riding speedway for, what, just less than 2 years, and transitioned across from motocross, which he's been doing for quite a long time prior to that. It'll be interesting to see how he goes at the very top level, because, of course, this is, you know, quite a big step up, considering he was only riding National League a year ago and now he's in the top two leagues. So it's going to be a big year, but he has got good resources, good equipment. He's the 500cc youth champion. He's had a lot of good coaching and helping him transition across from motocross. So, yeah, there is a lot of excitement.
Yeah, so as I say, I'm hearing good things about him. They're quite savvy. Clearly, having come from the motocross background, they'll be quite clued up about making sure they've got good kit. And as you've just mentioned, that seems to be the case. And he wants to make a big impact. It's looking at the team, as I say, looking at all seven teams prior to the podcast, they all look quite good. And if they all go well, then Oxford will have a great season. As I say, I don't know if they're a top four team. And people, of course, will slate you for coming out and saying that you might have a bit of negativity about a team. But I think the key to them, I think they'll be quite handy at home. I really do. It will be, again, how they travel. And if they can do that, then potentially they may just be a surprise package. But right now, looking at it pre-season, I think it's going to be hugely competitive. But for Oxford, I'd like to think that they can just re-establish themselves in the top ranks. If Maciej Janowski, I think he is their key man. If Maciej Janowski can become, like, have something similar, a similar impact to what Jason Doyle or an Emil Seyfutinov have done at Ipswich, then I think they could surprise other teams. If he's a little bit below par, then I'm not sure. So, as I say, for me, if Yonofsky can find that form that we saw from him in previous times. Did you look it up when he was last here?
Yes, 2015 with Poole. 2015. So, yeah, 9 years.
Yeah, so it's some time ago. It's nearly a decade ago. So if he can recapture that sort of form that I witnessed and commentated on at the time, and he was outstanding, if he can do that, then Oxford will definitely surprise a few. And as I say, they've got plenty of experience in their ranks. And clearly the young lad down at the bottom there looks like he is one that's going to take the job very seriously. But what I'm excited about here, big names in there. We've got a really good looking team. It's not easy to say they're not going to do much, because they could win it all, because if they really all fire. But as I say, leading into it, they will not. I think the bookies are certainly not making them a top four side right from the get-go.
Well, another side making the move up to the top level of British Speedway are the Birmingham Brummies, and their hand slightly forced by the situation with available race nights at Perry Bar. Monday was the only night they could realistically have the stadium to race, and that meant Premiership Speedway. So they had to rethink in their side and put together a competitive outfit. And here is the side they've come up with. Piotr Pawlicki and Vaclav Milik, along with Victor Lampart, come into the side. And then a few familiar faces for Speedway fans in the West Midlands. Of course, sadly, we've lost Wolves, but some of the side from Wolves making the move over to Perry Bar. Zach Cook, Steve Worrell and Leon Flint, who will be the rising star, come into the side. And the Brummies completed by Tom Brennan, who made quite a few guest appearances for the Brummies at championship level last season. But you can see that Wolves connection there, Kelvin, and they're hoping that some of the Wolves fans might venture over to Perry Bar to continue their Speedway watching activities.
Yeah, it's not easy for the Wolves fans when you've had allegiances and there's so much rivalry between the Midlands clubs. I remember riding for Coventry and, you know, just the rivalry between Wolves and Cradley back in the day. I mean, they were proper meetings, they were, and the fans didn't particularly like each other. So all of a sudden to switch allegiance is tough for them, and I feel for them. But I can understand that if one or two slip along to Birmingham and sort of like just creep in under the wire, I could fully understand it. And Steve Worrell and Leon Flint are obviously two riders that were pretty popular at Monmore Green, so they could well have a following there. Tom Brennan's an interesting one for me, Ian. Had, you know, a few seasons at Bellevue, roaring around that big track, up in Glasgow as well, another big fast track. But Brennan obviously learnt and cut his teeth on Speedway down at Eastbourne, at Arlington there. So Birmingham is sort of a mid-sized track. It's a nice track, actually. I haven't been there for some time, but I enjoyed my visits to Perry Bar. Be interesting to see how he settles in. I think Brennan, it's a big season. He's sort of stepping out of the shadows of Kurtz and Bewley and Lidsey up in Manchester. Who knows? He may well be able to kick on and become a genuine heat leader there, which I'm sure will delight the management. I think the key part to this team are the three European riders: Victor Lampart, Piotr Pawlicki, and Milik. And I think Pawlicki rode, if I remember, he rode for Wolverhampton before, and he was pretty good, and he is a talent, but they had a period of time where they really hit the heights. And I think I remember Pawlicki may have led the poles when they won the Speedway World Cup at Bellevue. But that is some time ago now. And it's just whether it's what Pawlicki turns up. If we get that Pawlicki, then they will be delighted. Milik has not been as good as he once was. And he's a bit mercurial these days. He looks superb one week and then doesn't do much the next. So consistency. I've written down just a quick note. Need to be consistent, those three. Lampart, of course, the young Polish rider. Be great for him. Just depends on how quickly he can settle in. But riders like Worrell, I think Steve Worrell will have a big responsibility in that team as the elder statesman to actually, you know, lead there and be one with plenty of advice, particularly early in the season. Could be a tough season for Birmingham. I hope it's not, but it might be. They need to win at home, Ian. They really do need to win at home. If you start getting beat at home by the big some of the more established teams, then that can turn people away. And as I say, they need to get off to a strong start. You know, they're going to go, they're racing against Oxford on the 14th. If they can put up a good showing in the return leg, we actually, my first meeting on television for Eurosport is actually at Birmingham against Bellevue. And, you know, that's a little bit later on. Obviously, we start late in April. But the fact of the matter is that it's absolutely vital. I don't know what the future holds for Perry Barr. As you say, it's an urban site. There are question marks over all these old stadia in these situations. But no question, they must win at home to keep that home support and keep the positivity. And if they can start well, that will help enormously. If they get off to a poor start and they lose two or three times at home, then it will be a very long season. But as I say, Tom Brennan needs to step up, all of a sudden really mature. Stevie Worrell, a rider that can really, he's a professional guy. I like Steve Worrell. I like the way he goes about his business. If he can be a real strong influence. And those lads that are flying in to ride from Europe, if they're winning at home, they'll keep their pecker up and they'll look forward to coming, and that will help immensely.
Okay, so that's the Birmingham Brummies. Last and by no means least, of course, the Bellevue Aces. We'll keep the Bellevue fans hanging on. Here is the lineup for the Aces of 2024. Brady Kurtz, Dan Bewley, Jamin Lidsey, Ben Cook, Norik Bledorn, Connor Mountain and Connor Bailey. They're doing well with the Connors, but Connor Bailey comes in as rising star. Had a good season at the end of last season, became the British under 21 champion, of course, in the mid-season, and then at the end was the National League Riders champion as well. And now he's looking to cement that place as rising star and really take the opportunity at the top level of British Speedway with both hands.
Yeah, and good luck to Connor. I think it's a fabulous team to ride for. Whenever you can pull on a set of Kevlars with the Bellevue logo on there, I think the Aces, you know, have got a tremendous history, and they are a very ambitious side. Mark Lemon is always looking to win the league. Yeah, I don't think anything else really is on his mind. He wants to win. It's quite a big change to that team, though. You know, the Tom Brennan and Charles Wright have gone. Ben Cook coming in, Connor Mountain, Connor Bailey, these are all new. I sense, for me, Ben Cook, I think, will go well there. He'll fly around there. Norik Bledorn is a rider, again, that has improved season on season. I'm pleased to see him back. He seems to be very keen to ride in the UK. Do you know what? The key man for me, Kurtz is great. I like his attitude. Lidsey was brilliant last year, really turned the style on. Dan Bewley. Dan Bewley's the one who I think underperformed at times last year in Britain. And I think he will know that. He will know that. And I'd like to think that if Bewley can get back to his best for the Aces, because that will mean, you know, at times there, like, he didn't really score the points I was expecting him to, and he seemed a bit lackluster, whether he was riding too much and just a bit burnt out. I don't know. But Bewley is he's a fabulous talent and a potential world champion. I think a lot of people would agree with that. So for me, they're there and they will be pushing hard. I thought they'd miss the big heat leader. I thought Zagar moving away from the team last year, I thought they would miss him, but they didn't, because Jamin Lidsey came on so strong, and I like that. I think he's coming, and they've got riders that are coming to an age now where they really are, you know, like Bledorn, Lidsey, Cook. I think they are all moving in the right direction. Big season for Bellevue. Key man for me is Bewley. If he can find his best form on a regular basis here, I think they'll be a real force.
Dan Bewley had the metalwork removed from his leg, which was put in when he broke his femur in 2018, riding for Workington's. This is a long time ago that he's had this metalwork in there all the time, and it's now been removed. But he has said that knowing that metalwork was in there, maybe he didn't take some of the risks that perhaps he wanted to in his mind, or he felt pain from it every now and again, so he's had some discomfort there. But it's all removed now, and the sort of general reports are he's feeling as good as new, which, you know, is this really going to take the shackles off Dan Bewley now in this season, and we really see what he's capable of?
Well, I have personal experience of that, because I had a leg break early on in my career, and I rode for a season with the metal work in there. And there's no doubt after 15 months when I had it removed, there's no question that it feels right again. There was always a bit of an ache. There was always a slight discomfort there when it was there. And when it was removed after about 6 weeks, it felt brand new again. And so I can relate to that. And that will be a positive for Dan. It's something just in the back of your mind that you haven't got to concern yourself with, or it doesn't niggle at you. It doesn't niggle at you. You know, it'll be on an aeroplane. It'll be when you're a bit stiff or you have a bump. It might not just bounce as well as you would like. As I say, Bewley on top form is a sight to behold. He's one of the best, or arguably one of the best riders in the world. So Bellevue will be looking for him to go great guns this year.
And the Bellevue Aces open their season with the Peter Craven Memorial Trophy, which takes place on Monday, March the 18th, which has got a fantastic lineup there as well. And here is the lineup, in fact, featuring Freddie Lindgren, Max Frick, Dan Bewley, Luke Becker, Brady Kurtz, Jamin Lidsey, Jason Doyle, Selena Lieberman, Connor Mountain, Norik Bladorn, Robert Lambert, Matt Sejanowski, Connor Bailey, Ben Cook, Chris Harris and Niels Christian Iversen. A couple of track reserves in Sam Hagen and Freddie Hodder. But that is quite some way to open the season with a top-class lineup there, Kelvin.
Fabulous-looking lineup. Really is. It's a very good lineup. And let's just hope that the weather behaves and that they can get off to a flying start up there, because, as I say, I think that will drag a lot of people along to watch, particularly early season when it's everybody's full of enthusiasm and desperate and starved of action. Robert Lambert turning up, Matt Sejanowski, Lindgren, Bewley, Doyle. Fabulous way to start the season. And clearly some of the big names in the league flexing their muscles early in the season. And, you know, Bellevue, fabulous track. I tell you what, that'll be quite a treat to start the season if it's a dry night. It'll be fabulous.
Yeah, look forward to that one. The 18th of March for the Peter Craven Memorial Trophy. Selena Lieberman, of course, the first female to grace that event. She has ridden in similar events before at Pardubice, but never the Peter Craven. And you'd say that she said herself, actually, the Peter Craven lineup is going to be the biggest meeting of her career to date, but a fantastic opportunity for her to test herself against the very best.
Yeah, that's a tough one for Selena, but she's certainly very determined, and exciting season ahead for her with riding for Workington on that track, where I'm hearing lots of very good reports about the new track at Workington. So I think it'll be a great experience for Selena to be there. If she can pick up some points and beat some of those bigger names, it will be a massive boost to her confidence. The sort of track that actually she will probably settle in quite nicely with, because she, you know, she's used to the bigger European track. So, I would love to think that she'll be really excited about going there and be part of that night.
Well, to make the fixture even bigger, we've got some news for you, and that is that you will be able to see the Peter Craven Memorial live on BSN. Anywhere in the world, you can watch this, the Peter Craven Memorial meeting on Monday nights from the National Speedway Stadium, live on BSN. You can get your passes now on the BSN website. It's the only place you can watch it. Don't follow any dodgy links. The British Speedway Network, the only place, watch.britishspeedway.co.uk, and get your pass there so you can watch it anywhere in the world. And I believe there is a plan to have Polish commentary available as well for any Polish viewers who want to check in and watch this one. So there's a Polish commentary option, I think, is the plan. So that's Monday night. The show will start at 6:30. The tapes up is 7 o'clock. Huge fixture, Peter Craven Memorial Meeting. Kelvin Tatum on No Breaks, No Fear. And you can hear more of that conversation, more detail on all those sides and much more besides on Kelvin Tatum's own podcast, which is called Tatum Talks. If you search for Tatum Talks Speedway on any podcast app or indeed on YouTube, you can search for it on there as well, because there's a video version also available, and you can see Kelvin's thoughts in full on all seven of the Premiership sides and much more besides. In the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, we'll begin a look ahead to some of the action coming up early season in British Speedway. We've got a couple of big testimonials on the way. Charles Wright marks his testimonial at Redcar at the weekend. Before that, Kyle Howarth marks his testimonial at Sheffield. with a World Select side taking on the Sheffield Tigers. We'll hear a little more from Kyle Howarth in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
So it is a very busy first week of Speedway. We've unusually got some league action fairly early in the season this time, with Leicester and Bellevue, Oxford and Birmingham in action on Thursday, March 14th, the first day of action in British Speedway. And also on that Thursday, March 14th, we've got the Sheffield Tigers versus a World Select as Kyle Howarth's testimonial. Big fixture at Ollerton Stadium there with a great lineup, slightly different to that originally advertised, I guess, from the Sheffield point of view, with Chris and Jack Holder and Ty Woofenden still away at the moment elsewhere. But there's some handy replacements involved in that. And earlier on, I spoke to Kyle Howarth about that testimonial and turning his hand to being a promoter and talking about the winter period, where you might think that Speedway stops over the course of the winter, but really, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Speedway is a 12-month job, really. It doesn't really stop. Like, in the season, you're racing, travelling, still speaking to sponsors and dealing with things in Speedway. Then you have your personal life, where, obviously, a lot of us, we have families or, you know, girlfriends, wives, whatnot. So, also that, you have that. And then in the off-season, as soon as the season finishes, like, you just don't go hibernate for 5 months and then appear again. It's building bikes, getting new sponsors, trying to get sponsors back and trying to find new sponsors. And like you said, trying to do your deals with the clubs. And then organising for this year coming. And so there's a lot to it. It's not just about these shiny bikes and yourself rock up to the track and race and whatnot. There's a lot in it, what goes in. And it's all preparation, and 12 months is just non-stop. And I feel like since the season's finished for myself, it's just not stopped. And I'm currently on the road to dropping some bikes off at Ipswich to go to Poland. And exactly all that, like, it's not just your Europe, English stuff. If you're racing abroad, you've got your Polish or Swedish or whatnot stuff to sort out. So there's a lot to it.
And the season will be here soon, and your meeting is one of the very first, your testimonial, which is taking place at Ollerton Stadium in Sheffield. And, well, tell us about that meeting, because it's a team event, so we're going to get a first look at the Sheffield team and a World Stars team as well. And you yourself now, you're turning your hand to being a promoter as well. How's that going?
Well, first of all, I couldn't do it without Julie Redding. She's been a star, and she's been really a great help for me, and she's basically helping me run the testimonial and getting things organised. So she's been great to work with. And yeah, there's a lot to it. I understand. I have a lot of respect for Speedway promoters now. I see what it takes to run a home meeting at home, all the faffing about, and you know, it's not just them opening the gates and a speedway meeting on the day. It's all your insurances, making sure your riders are all fit, and organising riders, making sure you've got your ambulance and all these hidden covers, what you didn't really know about. And so, yeah, the testimonial's been going really well. We're doing the Sheffield versus rest of the world select. So the Sheffield team versus, obviously, the riders, what have been announced so far. It's looking a really good lineup, and it's 14th of March at Sheffield. So I just thought I'd do something a bit different than just your standard old individual, and then put a really good solid World Select team together, and with the likes of Freddie Lindgren, Tobias Musialak and Niels Christian Everson as the top three. I don't think that's a bad start, really, is it?
It's a decent start, isn't it? Freddie Lindgren, world number two, and a former teammate of yours as well at Wolves, of course, and you won a title racing alongside Freddie. So to get him on the phone and get him to agree to come to your meeting, of course, he's filling his time well, because he's also then going off to do the Ben Fund meeting on Saturday, Charles Wright's on Sunday, the Peter Craven on Monday. He's in for a busy time, but starting with your meeting.
Yeah, it was great. When I spoke to Freddie, he was like, straight away, we were like, yeah, obviously we had some good times at Wolves, winning the league and we rode together a lot. We got on really well, and I learned a lot of Freddie. He's a good, like, you know, being a world-class Grand Prix rider for so many years now, and he still is at the top of his game, world number two, and, you know, fair play to him. He's been great for British Speedway, and you've got to give it to him. He still supports British Speedway. He's done many years here, and he's still doing individuals at the start of the year, and he likes riding in England. He said that to, and when I spoke to him. So, no, it's great to have him on board, and I really do appreciate him helping me out.
Of course, people know what's happened to Wolves, but with Freddie Lindgren, of course, yourself, Rory Schlein, you know, instantly there are three ex-Wolves riders, and may well be more to be announced as well. So give something for those Wolves fans who this year, of course, find themselves without a club to go and support some of the riders that have brought them joy over the years as well.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was great to have some Wolves. I think it was being a Wolves rider for the four seasons was great, and I really had some good memories, so I thought it'd be nice to get some Wolves and get some Wolves fans over and give them something, because obviously it was such a tough year for the club last year and everything going on, and I think a club what had such a really good history about it, and they've always been at the top of the game. CVS and Pete Adams have always put a really successful team. They've always been around the playoffs, haven't they? And, you know, in 2016, winning the league, 2017, getting to the grand final, and, you know, the previous years they've got to the semis and they've been really good. So it's just a shame how it's gone, but this is Speedway at the minute, and hopefully they can be back in the next coming years, and hopefully they can be back in CBS, and then Pete Adams can be running a show again.
Yeah, Pete Adams certainly doesn't feel he's done with Speedway, so watch this space either way, I think, on that front. Let's talk about Sheffield last year. You were the only rider to start the season and end the season. Of course, Sheffield ending with that league title, first top flight league title. An amazing year all up for the Sheffield Tigers.
Yeah, it was unbelievable year, I think. It was, you could say we had our ups and we had our downs, for sure. The club made team changes, and there was injuries and forced to make team changes, and, you know, that happens in Speedway. It's not the first and it won't be the last, will it? And it was kind of a weird year because we was in the season, we wasn't doing not special, it was just ticking away. You had your Bellevue, who was obviously in form in the season, and they was beating people home and away. And then you had your Ipswich had had some losses, and they was coming into form at the end of the season. We'd had a couple of losses at home, and we'd had some wins away, but we was kind of just in the middle. I don't think anyone could say who was going to win the league, if I'm honest. And obviously we had injuries, Sheffield strengthened up. Likes of Ty Wolfenden, Chris Alder coming in, and kind of brought a bit of a nice spring. And it was such a shame losing Jack Alder at the time, because, you know, you look at his home form and away form for Sheffield. The last year and previous year, he's been outstanding, hasn't he, for the club? So, obviously riders coming in, and we managed to do that. And it was go time towards the end of the season, and we come into the playoffs, and it was against Wolverhampton, and the weather was a bit crazy, raining, and we had that wet. We managed to go to Wolves and win at Wolves, and to come home, and we beat Wolves, and it brought a lot of confidence to the team. And then going into the grand final, I know obviously Ipswich, towards the end of the season, was so dominant at home, weren't they? They was beating nearly everyone by like 15, 16, 20 points. And we knew obviously it was going to be tough. With Emil and Doyle and whatnot, and yeah, they beat us by 18 points, but it was something. Our heads wasn't down. They just caught us on a really off night, and they caught us, and fair play to them. Coming home, there was a lot of confidence. We'd had the previous 3-4 home wins. We'd had some really big home wins, so we thought if we can catch them early on, I think we can do this. And there was a really good atmosphere in the team at the time, and yeah, like, I think the first 8 heats were very crucial, and I think after 8 heats, you know, after 8 heats, we was back in it, wasn't we? And then by heat 10, we was up by 2, if I'm right. And, it was all to play for. And then, yeah, I think history was made for Sheffield winning the first title, and it was such a relief to get that off our shoulders.
What was it like after? Were there celebrations afterwards? Because I know we spoke to Josh Pickering, who sort of basically said he went straight home to watch it back on TV because he couldn't believe it. What was it like for you?
Crazy moment, really, because I think, you know, when they come in, Sheffield coming into the league and getting into the semis in 2021 and 22, getting into the grand final against Bellevue and losing, and last year getting into the final again and winning, it was such a relief. It was kind of like a bubble had burst, you know what I mean? Like, just, yeah, we've done it. It was nice. The atmosphere in the stadium was electric, and went in the bar and the fans were just crazy. It was packed. It was nice to see a Speedway bar like that, if I'm honest with you. Packed to the rafters, you couldn't really get in. It was so busy, and it was just great for the club. I went home, and if I'm honest with you, I've watched little clips back. I've not watched the meeting back, but yeah, it was just great. Like, there's just so much going on and so much to remember, and there's just a lot of happy people around, and it was nice to give back to the fans, the promotion and the sponsors, to give some of back, and it was nice to see that as a rider.
Kyle Howarth, the Sheffield Tigers captain, talking about their season last year, romping home to the title, and also his testimonial, which takes place on Thursday, March 14th, 7:30 start at Ollerton Stadium. The only way to see it is to be there live as the new season gets underway in South Yorkshire. Here are the teams then. Sheffield, Tobias Musilak comes back in for the night, back into the Sheffield Tigers. Kyle Howarth, Rory Schlein, Jai Etheridge, Josh Pickering, Jason Edwards and Dan Jilks. And the rest of the world select, led by Freddie Lindgren, world number two. Eric Riss, Justin Sedgman, Michael Palmtoft, Niels Christian Iversen, Jake Allen and Simon Lambert. That's the two sides battling it out at Ollerton Stadium in the season opener there, all for the benefit of Kyle Howarth in his testimonial year. Well, another rider celebrating their testimonial year is Charles Wright. His fixture takes place on Sunday at Redcar's Echo Arena, where, of course, Charles Wright is captain of the Redcar Bears. It's a fixture that, again, has got a strong lineup with some familiar faces. Freddie Lindgren is an ever-present in all of these meetings coming up over the weekend, so we don't really need to announce him too much. But he is obviously a focal point, and I caught up with Charles Wright to discuss luring Freddie Lindgren to Teesside.
Yeah, like I say, second in the world this year, Freddie Lindgren. You know, it gets it off to a good start and gets the fans excited with the other names following. So I'm quite happy to get Freddie at my testimonial, and it'll be great for him to be part of my big day.
Fast Freddie around Redcar is going to be something to behold, isn't it? And I think he was supposed to make it there last year, wasn't he, for one of the meetings, the Stuart Robson one, but obviously that fell victim to the weather. Hopefully that's not the case for you, but it's going to be one to watch, isn't it? I don't think he's been to Redcar before. He won't have had a chance to race there before, will he, or has he?
No, with it being Championship, he's probably never ridden there. And obviously, that's good for the Redcar fans and Championship clubs, you know, where they'll never see a rider like that round there. So it's good to have him there. And like I say again, it just hope the weather plays a good part of the situation on the day.
Okay, and yeah, fingers crossed, as you say, for the weather. It's all you can do, isn't it? But assuming it all goes to plan, then, which is what we hope. What is the format? Is it a team event? Is it an individual, like a Grand Prix event? How are you running it?
Yeah, so it'll be 16 riders, 20 heats, one semi and one final. So two go straight through to the final, and two go through from the semi final into the final.
There's Charles Wright, his testimonial then at Redcar, Sunday, March 17th. It's an afternoon job, tapes up at 3 p.m. Here is the lineup for that one. Freddie Lindgren, of course, Eric Riss racing in that one as well. There's quite a lot for Bellevue fans in this one. Of course, Charles Wright, a former Bellevue rider. Brady Kurtz, Norik Bladorn, Jamin Lidsey, Jai Etheridge, all lining up in this one. As is Ben Cook, of course, a Bellevue rider for this year. Richard Lawson is also going to be there. Danny King, Jason Edwards, Louis Kerr, Jake Allen, Kyle Howarth, Steve Worrell, Jonas Knudsen, Jake Mulford and Chris Harris. former track record holder there as well. So it's a decent lineup, that, isn't it? Decent lineup at Redcar, a terrific racetrack. Personally, one of my favourites, I have to say. If you've not been up to Redcar before, or indeed if you're heading to Workington, consider making a weekend of it, because you can head across the hills and see some more top speedway. When we recorded that, was a couple of weeks ago. The weather forecast for Redcar, I have to say, it does look fairly tropical for Sunday. We're talking 15 degrees and sunshine on Teesside. You can't whack that. That's like as good as it gets. So maybe make a plan for that one. And hopefully we'll see you there for that fixture, which is also going to be streamed live on BSN as well. British Speedway Network also showing that one. They've got three big meetings for you this weekend, including the Ben Fund on Saturday. We've got the Charles Wright meeting on Sunday. And then on Monday, the Peter Craven Memorial, all live and exclusive on BSN, British Speedway Network. And on that note, talking about the Ben Fund meeting, we've got the chairman of the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund next to tell us more about what's going to be going on at Redcar. Paul Aykroyd joins us in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
As the British Speedway season gets underway then, traditionally one of the curtain raisers every year is the Ben Fund Bonanza meeting, which raises much needed funds for a very unique charity, the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund, which exists purely to help out those who have been involved in the sport who find themselves injured. But of course that doesn't necessarily mean injured at that particular moment. Injuries in Speedway can have long lasting effects, as many riders know only too well. And head of the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund, the chairman is Paul Aykroyd, who joins us now. Welcome to the podcast once again, Paul. And once again, a big weekend for you. You must be very busy, but looks like an exciting lineup at a brand new venue as well in Workington. First time the Ben Fund Bonanza has been there, and all set for what should be an amazing weekend of Speedway.
Yes, indeed. Firstly, thank you for allowing me to speak on the programme. That's very appreciated. Yep, it's our big weekend. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's a new venue, Workington. Never been staged there before. And it's fitting to give them the launch pad as they move up into the middle tier league. It's a good start for them. And it's something for their local fans to look forward to very much. We're blessed this year with a tremendous lineup. The riders have been absolutely brilliant this year. Every single one has volunteered, and we've got a waiting list of two or three good riders in case anybody does drop out at the last minute. And we're blessed really because the local favourite, Dan Bewley, everybody in the Workington area in Cumbria, they want to see Dan race, and he's going to be there along with world number two, Freddie Lindgren. So it's a terrific launch pad for Workington to move forward.
As you say, the headline act has to be Dan Bewley. Of course, he's raced there in practice many times. It's a track that he rode on before it was developed into the circuit it is now. So it's very much the patch he grew up on. But this will be the first time he's raced competitively around this circuit. And so, as you say, to have a world-class rider like Freddie Lindgren taking part, as well as the rest of the lineup, which in itself is solid, two real headline acts there, and the connection, of course, with Dan Bewley and Steve Lawson, who's been his mentor. There's so many little stories there, aren't there?
There are indeed, and it's fitting that Dan is supporting Steve in this way, and he's helping us as well. But linked to that, we've got riders like Danny King, who has won the Benevolent Fund Bonanza 2 years now, so he's looking to try and make it three. We've got our ever-present Ben Barker, who has ridden in every single Bonanza meeting. We've got Eric Riss, Sam Masters, Justin Sedgman, Brady Kurtz, Kyle Howarth. So there's a really, really strong field there, which should provide some excellent entertainment for the fans.
Now, of course, it's all about making money for the Ben Fun Bonanza. Give us an idea of the, you know, how important this meeting is for the Benevolent Fund in terms of contributing to your fundraising activities each year.
Well, the Bonanza meeting brings in 25 or 30% of our annual income. So it's a big deal for us. Without the Bonanza meeting, we would struggle as the year goes on to make sure we do the work that we want to do. So it's a massive thing for the charity. And it's an ideal way of the fans who pay the money to come watch the meeting. Their payment is their contribution to our charity. It's their donation. And I can't stress that enough to fans. When they buy a programme, when they pay their admission, that is their gift to our charity to help us do what we do.
There are other ways that fans are going to be able to contribute money, aren't there? That you've done various other, you know, sponsorship packages and so on. Of course, the buckets will be going round through the course of the meeting as well. Tell us about the other things that you've got going on the day. Apart from the main meeting, of course, there's some other side shows as well, as always, some other races to watch as part of the meeting. So you're going to get a lot of speedway in your 3 hours or so that you're there.
Yes, indeed. To back up the main event, we've got three races with female riders. And this, I think, is the first time that they're going to be on display in public or in view of the public. And we're very keen to support the females in Speedway. The FIM are very keen and active to get female racers into the sport. And they've given us a lot of backup last year, and we're working alongside them to promote that avenue within the sport in England. So we've got three female races, and of course every year we support Neil Vatcher and his youth programme, and so there'll be four of the youth under 16 riders there. They'll be having a couple of races also. So it's going to be a fun afternoon of mixed racing with some variances that have not been seen before.
Yeah, and so that's what, you know, like we say, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of activity going on, both on and off the track. Now, it starts at 2 o'clock, doesn't it? 2 o'clock start time on Saturday afternoon. So make sure you get there early. It's not an evening event because, of course, they don't have floodlights, I don't think, yet, do they, at Workington? So it needs to operate in daylight hours. And there's also a bit of a heads up, really important heads up, that it's a cash-only event, isn't it? So people need to come prepared.
That's true, yeah. The gates will open at 12 o'clock. There are plenty of catering facilities and some side stalls and some activities for children. So it's going to be there for everybody to enjoy the afternoon.
And it's part of a busy weekend of Speedway, really. It sort of kicks off a fantastic weekend of Speedway because you've got Charles Wright's event on Sunday. You've got the Craven, Peter Craven event on Monday at Bellevue. And also, if you're travelling a longer distance, there's also the celebration of Speedway event at Paradise Wildlife Park 2 down south. So there's lots going on this weekend. And this is obviously central to all that opening weekend activity.
Yes, indeed. We the Benevolent Fund, will have a stand down at Paradise Park. So we're really stretching ourselves this weekend. The World Speedway Riders Association, they put a lot of effort into this event down there. And they've been very generous in backing and supporting our meeting financially. And we work very closely along with Bert Harkins and his team down there for the good of Speedway. But for fans travelling north of England, what a terrific start to the season, really. There's a meeting at Sheffield on Thursday. There's our meeting on Saturday, as you said. There's the Charles Wright event at Redcar on Sunday, and the Peter Craven Memorial at Bellevue on Monday. So what a terrific start to the British Speedway season.
One other extra bit of information regarding this is that if you can't make it to Workington on Saturday for this meeting for the Ben Fund Bonanza, you can watch it anywhere in the world, because this meeting will also be shown on BSN as well, British Speedway Network, which means that people can buy the stream. In doing that, you're contributing to the Ben Fund in doing that, so the proceeds are going to the charity, and you can watch this fantastic meeting wherever you are on the planet.
Yes, indeed. And I do know we've got friends in Australia and Poland and America, and they'll be certainly watching the action live, what's going on. But our tie-up with BSN is really good. They have been very supportive to us last year, and it was a no-brainer to hook up with them again to transmit this event for us on Saturday.
Okay, so you can get those passes online. All the details are available, and it's going to be a very busy weekend, opening weekend for everybody in Speedway and for BSN as well. So get to the BSN website for all the info on the various meetings that you can take in, regardless of where you are on the planet. And I think also a plan to for all of the Polish viewers, I think there's going to be Polish language commentary as well. So a different innovation trying this season in these first few meetings. So if you are in Poland, you're a Polish listener, then you can have it in Polish this weekend too. So that meeting, anyway, the Ben Fund Bonanza, it's at Workington, kicks off at 2 o'clock. That's tapes up at 2 this Saturday. Gates open at 12. I think get there early, Paul, because I think you're going to have a decent crowd.
We're hoping that this will mirror our biggest meeting down at Rye House some 10, 12 years ago. We're expecting a massive turnout, and everybody's geared up to accommodate that. And for people who've never been to Workington, to the new track, it is a really lovely place. And I visited them 3 times last year, and I was blown away with what had gone on and the track and the racing. And it's a lovely venue, so we're really excited and looking forward to being there.
Yeah, we did the on BSN did the National League Riders final, the final meeting of the year at Workington last year, and it was my first visit there. And it's I echo that. It's a lovely little place. You feel like if you down that back straight, you're walking through the trees. You sort of feel like you're on a bit of an escape retreat in the woodland, and then there's a speedway track. It's it's a fantastic little venue, and the track itself, the racing you're going to get with the best will in the world, I don't think we've seen the best of the track yet. And I think with some of the best riders on it that you've got in your lineup for the first time, we're going to see some real hard racing, I think, and from some of the world's best, and really see what it's capable of now.
Yes, there's not many venues where, when you're looking out from the home straight, if you look to the right, you can see the sea, and if you look to your left, you can see the hills of the Lake District. And there's nowhere in Britain to compare with that. And it's an interesting little place.
Yeah, well, you can see two countries because you're in England, and you look right and you see Scotland, can't you? It's very unique on that front. But certainly it'll blow the cobwebs away anyway. But I think the weather is supposed to be warming up this weekend, so maybe not quite as bracing as it could be. But we look forward to it. And all the best, Paul, for the event on the day. We'll see you there. Here's to a fantastic afternoon of Speedway to get the season really started.
Well, thank you very much. And to all the supporters out there, please come along if you can. Your attendance would be very much appreciated. And if you can't come, please buy into the live stream and you can watch the action there. So thank you, everybody.
Paul Aykroyd, chairman of the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund. The Ben Fund Bonanza meeting takes place at Workington's new GT Arena, as it's now called. Then it all kicks off at 2 o'clock. Tapes up for that one. Gates open at 12. It's going to be a big one. So here is your first week of Speedway action in Great Britain then for the 2024 season. It all begins on Thursday. 3 fixtures, 2 in the league. The Premiership gets underway with the Leicester Lions hosting the Bellevue Aces, and the two newcomers to Premiership action, the Oxford Spires facing the Birmingham Brummies. Birmingham, of course, have an issue with Piotr Pawlicki, and incoming in his place for the next few weeks is Scott Nichols. Plot twist, Scott Nichols has been riding for the Oxford Cheetahs for the last couple of years, and he's heading back to race against the Oxford Spires. And we've got that testimonial as well, Kyle Howarth testimonial at Sheffield, Ollerton Stadium, 7:30, Sheffield Tigers versus that World Select side. Then on Saturday, the next action, just hearing about it, the Ben Fund Bonanza takes place at Workington. It's 2 o'clock tapes up for that one. And then on Sunday, it's Charles Wright's testimonial at Redcar. 3 p.m. tapes up at the Echo Arena on Teesside for Charles Wright's testimonial. And on Monday, it's another huge one. It's the Peter Craven Memorial at Bellevue's National Speedway Stadium. Bear in mind, this is a 7 p.m. tapes up. It's a big meeting. All guns blazing. There's going to be world stars there. It's an epic lineup. And if you can't be at the National Speedway Stadium, you can watch it live on BSN on Monday night. A huge fixture there with some of the world's finest. And of course, that six rider final as well to round things off. What a way to start the season. And then looking ahead to next Thursday, it's back to Premiership action and it's a crammed programme. Ipswich versus Bellevue, Leicester versus King's Lynn, and Oxford versus Sheffield Tigers. Leicester versus King's Lynn also live on BSN next week as well. The Speedway season is back, folks. It's going to come at you thick and fast now, all the way. Enjoy it. We'll be back next week with more action, reviewing what's happened in the first throws, the opening accounts of the season, and looking ahead to a very busy second week of the programme. Keep up to date with everything happening on British Speedway, of course, on the official social media channels, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now, of course, TikTok, and on the main website as well. And we'll see you next week for the next episode of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.